It's the 19th hole with Michael Williams.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the 19th hole. Michael Williams, your host, bringing you the best of golf and golf lifestyle week after week after week. We got a big show for you this week. We have Canada's arguably best player ever, only 23 years old, Brooke Henderson, fresh off of a win in Los Angeles, and she's going to join us to talk about her career, what she's planning to do both now and in the future, and about a great little contest that she's running with Skechers for junior golfers. There's still time to enter that contest. She'll tell you more about it herself. We also have the boys from Abandoned Dunes. We have Jess Simons, who runs the operation over there. And look, Abandoned Dunes, do I need even more of the introduction? Arguably the best golf destination in the world. We'll be talking about them, how they do what they do, and how they preserve it, how they maintain it and sustain it so it will be available for other generations. It's a great conversation. You're going to enjoy it. Also, we have our good friend Andy Johnston from Sentosa Golf Club in Singapore. Yes, Singapore. I still feel the attachment to all courses everywhere on the planet, and they're going to be talking about their new renovation. They're hosting the HSBC Women's World Championship this weekend, and we'll be talking to them about their new course renovations and also what they do to make that course very special now and very special in the future. It's a big show, full of fun, full of golf, and so now I'm going to step aside so that I can actually get that show started, okay? Because time is a waste, and so grab yourself a salty snack and a cold beverage, and we'll be right back. Michael Williams, 19th hole, golf, WRX. Welcome back to the 19th hole. Michael Williams, your host, and I gotta say I'm pretty excited about our next guest. She has been one of my favorite players for a long time, which is saying something because she hasn't even been alive that very long, but she's really done a lot in a short period of time. She is the freshly minted winner of the Hugel Air Premier LA Open, her 10th win as a professional at the age of 23. I mean, I literally have sweaters older than that. It makes me sad. But she is the three-time Canadian Press Female Athlete of the Year. And as I said before, she is just getting started. Please welcome to the 19th hole, the one and only Brooke Henderson. Brooke, thank you so much for taking the time and welcome to the 19th hole.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And you just won your 10th, for the 10th time, 10th title, at the LA Open, the Wilshire Country Club, I believe. And this was after a year with COVID. Everyone's had a tough time this year, especially, I mean, when you're competing and you get out of your rhythms and travel is so difficult. How good did it feel to be back in the winner's circle?
It felt amazing to get back in that winner's circle, to get my 10th win on the LPGA Tour into double digits. Really cool. It felt like a long time since my last win, but with all things considered, it really wasn't too long. But, you know, just to be back out there competing, the pandemic really showed me how grateful and appreciative I am of the opportunity to play against the best in the world, and I have a pretty cool job.
It is a pretty cool job. I got to say, that's almost the official definition, a pretty cool job. And when you were giving your post-round talk, and as many golfers do when they win, the emotion starts to well up. And that happens for different reasons, you know, for different people and different circumstances. For you, when you started to feel that emotion, you know, that was apparent, what was that about for you? What were you feeling and what were you thinking about?
You know, I started the day 4 shots back, and going into the day, I was just trying to make some birdies, try to put a little pressure on the leaders, and, you know, making the turn onto the back nine. I had put myself in good position, and I was able to make a couple clutch shots and make a couple birdies, and all of a sudden I had the lead. And then, you know, coming down the stretch, I was just trying to hit solid shots and to maintain that lead. And then when I finally made a really clutch up and down on 18 to win by one, as soon as that putt fell, I was just so happy and so excited, and to be able to share it with my sister, who is also my caddy and who's been helping me work on my game. It was just a really special moment. And, you know, 10 wins on the LPGA, that's honestly such a dream come true. And I'm just looking forward to getting my next one.
Yeah, and you talked about working on your game with your sister. I think you finished on a par three to win this tournament, and you had to get up and down. And I think it showed off the hard work that you've put into your short game in particular. Talk a little bit about how that work paid off this week.
Yeah, for sure. My long game has always been the most consistent and definitely a strength to my game. Mm-hmm. And the short game is, you know, where I've had to work a little harder. And especially, you know, the last few months, Britt and I have really been trying to put some more time into it and trying to get a little bit better every day. And then to be able to hit those clutch shots down the stretch and make some putts, it was just such a great feeling and definitely gave us a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I think confidence is one word going into the next one. And you have so much in front of you. You've accomplished so much at such an early age, already Canada's winningest pro golfer, which is kind of wild to think about at the age of 23. And what else do you have coming up, short term, long term? What do you see as goals for you? Let's start with the Olympics. That's this year. Any plans to attend the Olympics, win some gold?
Yeah, the Olympics is always on the radar. I was able to compete for Canada in Rio in 2016, and that was definitely a dream for me to be amongst the best athletes in the world. It was definitely something special, and mm-hmm. you know, lots of major championships left later this year, and you know, just every single week being able to compete against the best in the world, it is pretty cool. And I've actually have this new contest with Skechers, Meet Our Elite. So I hope to be working closely with junior golfers and hopefully meeting and training one. And I think that's going to be pretty cool, because I think if I can inspire and help motivate the younger generation, that's just as important as what I do on the course.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about the Skechers contest. Go on a little more about that, what the details of the contest are, and how you came up with that. What's your motivation for doing something like that with the young athletes?
When I was younger, I was able to meet Morgan Pressel, who was a huge role model for me.
Wow.
I watched her do a clinic, got my picture taken with her, and it was just really meaningful to me. And it really taught me a lot and showed me, you know, some hard work and just having fun and enjoying the game. Maybe good things can happen in the future. Mm-hmm. And so I'm definitely trying to, you know, help the next generation realize their dreams and their goals. And if I can help in a small way, I think that's really important to me.
And the contest itself, by the time this airs, the contest, I know it started on April 1st, but I think this ends. Entries are still being taken up until Saturday, May 1st, if I understand that correctly, yeah?
Yes, that's right.
Cool. So I think we can check into place. Where do people go to enter the contest and be a part of this?
I think the best way would be go to my Instagram page at Brooke Henderson Golf and click on the link in the bio for the official contest rules and all the contest information that you might need.
Perfecto. And Skechers, you know, as a partner for this, how great is it to find a partner like Skechers, who's willing to sort of support the things? I mean, of course, they support the things that you want to do on the golf course, but it's pretty great to find a sponsor that is willing to help support the next generation of pros who don't have a big name or big Instagram accounts. It must be really nice to work with a sponsor who gets it like that.
Absolutely. I'm so proud to be part of the Skechers family. And I was so excited when they came to me with this opportunity so that I could help share some tips and help, you know, train a young golfer. And I think it's also really nice that they wanted somebody that's being elite on and off the golf course, so that it's more than just being a golfer. It's about being a good person and, you know, trying to be the best that you can be.
Mm-hmm. And when I say role model, do you think of yourself as a role model? I mean, you're so young yourself, let's be honest. And it's not often that a person of your age is considered a role model, but I think it's kind of cool that you actually put yourself in that position. You really think of yourself as a role model and all the responsibility that entails, don't you?
It's pretty cool. A little bit surreal too. But you know, when we did have fans out following us week to week, it was always so nice to see, you know, young little girls and boys wanting my autograph or wanting a picture taken with me. It was really special and meant a lot, and I'm excited for when fans can come back and I can have that again. And you know, for me, I'm just trying to be a better person, a better golfer every day. And then if I can help inspire and motivate people or help somebody in some way, I'm just really happy to do that.
Well, that is just awesome that, you know, again, that you take, you feel this responsibility as an early point in the timeline for yourself. You're already looking out for the next generation. I think that's kind of special, and it says as much about you as a person as it does about you as a golfer. Before we let you go, I got to ask, I know that you get a number of shout outs and congratulations after you won this past week, but the one that made me smile was from Ann Murray. Ann Murray, I don't know, actually, I remember Ann Murray. That's how much older than you I am. I remember her songs when they first came out. So it was kind of cool that you got Canada's Songbird actually sending out congratulations to you. How cool was that to get a shout out from Ann Murray?
Yeah, it's really amazing. I love Ann Murray, and to have her, she usually tweets after all of my wins, and you know, to have her reach out like that is just really special, because she's definitely a legend up in Canada.
Yes, she is. Kind of down here south of the border too, in the mayhem that is the United States. But yeah, we appreciate everything that you guys got going on up there. Again, congratulations on the win. Congratulations, even bigger congratulations, I would say, on the program and your dedication to young golfers everywhere. And again, give us that Instagram account where we can go and enter that contest.
Yeah, so the Instagram page is at Brooke Henderson Golf, and there's a link in the bio to get all the contest rules and all the information you might need.
Outstanding. Well, best of luck to you, my dear. Thank you so much for spending the time, and let's make it a ritual. Every time you win, you come on the show, and that way we'll have you on all the time. Okay, I'm sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You are so welcome. That is Brooke Henderson. Isn't she amazing? She's just, you know, so humble, so talented, so forward looking. It's just great. And I just still think that's the coolest thing to have Ann Murray. You know, do y'all know her? Like, spread your tiny wings and fly away. You know, go ahead. Just look up the song. You'll see Ann Murray. She's great. But Brooke Henderson, she's going to win a lot. So if she does actually come on every time she wins, she's going to be a very familiar face around here. Stick around. We'll be back with more golf and stuff. Michael Williams, 19th hole, golf, WRX. Welcome back to the 19th hole. Michael Williams, your host, caddy, Sherpa, for this period of time, this weekly excursion into golf and the golf lifestyle. There are two words that when you say them, they say more than maybe any two words you can put together in the English language that evoke the feeling of true golf. What are those two words? Band and dunes. Quite simply, band and dunes. When you put those two words together, what does it make you think of? What does it make you feel? It makes you feel friendship. It makes you feel pure golf. It makes you feel camaraderie. It makes you feel the outdoors. It makes you feel this atmosphere that is so pure with all of the things that we love about golf. And I think it's just an astonishing accomplishment to have created that type of atmosphere in what is really a relatively short period of time. It feels like it's been around forever, but it's really just a baby, Bandon Dunes, that whole place. It is indeed something special. And as I've mentioned, we have just passed Earth Day, and they not only take care of golf for now, they're doing a lot of things to make sure that golf and this planet are around and doing it for a long, long time into the future. It's just part of the forward-looking thing. I've never seen a group of people who look in both directions on the calendar at the same time as well as they do. But I can yammer about it for hours. Let's get a few minutes with somebody who really knows the place. He is the director of resort operations at Bandon Dunes. Please welcome, for the first time to the 19th hole, Mr. Jeff Simons. Jeff, welcome to the 19th hole. How are you, brother?
I'm great, Michael. Thanks so much for having us, and what an awesome introduction. You make me want to go tee it up right now. I feel like I'm missing out.
As I used to call it when I was in the business, man, when I was running courses, just call it a course inspection, okay? And
exactly.
Mark it down and put it on expenses. You got to take a course inspection every once in a while. But I mean, I don't even know how you get any work done being out there, quite honestly, because to be in the proximity of a place like that where the golf is so pure and so exceptional day after day, week after week, I think it's a miracle that you ever get even one moment of pen to paper out there. So again, congratulations on that.
I assume it's similar to a cookie baker, who eventually you get tired of eating your own cookies, and so I'm certainly not tired of the golf, but
yeah,
I can get some work done occasionally.
Yeah, I hear you, man. You take a laptop or an iPad out on a cart and with a caddy, and away you go. But again, as I was saying in the open, you know, it's a really, really special place. It's an extraordinary experience at Bandon. Possibly, I think, the most sought-after golf experience, I can say, arguably, in the United States, and one of the top in the world at this point. Tell me, how do you guys feel out there about that you've accomplished this? Was that the goal from the beginning, or did it just come up on you and just look around and say, holy mackerel, this is the view from the top of the mountain?
Well, it certainly wasn't. Let's find our way to the top of the mountain. One of the, you know, great recent golf stories is the book Dream Golf, which is on the making of Bandon Dunes.
Mm. I have a copy.
One of my favorite parts is, you know, is Mike Kaiser is kind of describing and talking about his business plan for Bandon Dunes as just an 18-hole golf course in rural Oregon. Is how many people were telling him, no, it won't work. No, you're too far away from population density. You're talking about not having golf carts, not having housing developments. You're crazy. And he went forward anyway and just said, let's go ahead and build it. And if it doesn't work, then, you know, I'll visit with some friends and we could always turn it into basically a sheep ranch. And lo and behold, it, both things happened. One, it worked really well, but two, we ended up with a sheep ranch, although a little bit different from what he had in mind.
Right. It is, again, it clicks on all cylinders. And looking back on it, was there a template for anything else that existed that you worked from, either on the ground in terms of how you wanted the courses to look and feel, or a particular destination that you wanted to evoke when you were setting up Bandon Dunes?
Well, the template was certainly, you know, why do so many people from the U.S. or North America travel over to U.K. and Scotland to play golf over there? You know, that it's an incredible experience having that, and yet there was nothing like it in the U.S. And Mike Kaiser was no different, and he loved going over and playing golf. He loved the old course, and he loved Royal Dornick, and You know, so he figured out what it was he liked about that, and then he went to work finding a site like that in the U.S. And thank goodness we've got him, and he found it here in Oregon and in Bandon, and you know, now he's finding other great sandy destinations, whether it's Sand Valley in Wisconsin or Cabot up in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. So it's fantastic, and as we kind of continue to grow and expand and build out, it is, you know, making sure that we continue to kind of follow that original game plan of you know, golf as it was meant to be, which is kind of our motto. And and at the same time, you know, how do we make it easy and comfortable and welcoming to our guests to come back, you know, every year, every other year, you know, whatever it is for their golf trip. And we love welcoming people back.
Just year after year, and people do take multiple trips. I've only had one, but I aim to rectify that situation as soon as possible. We're talking to Jeff Simons. He's the director of resort operations at Bandon Dunes. Michael Williams, your host, you're on the 19th hole. Jeff, I was just talking about taking multiple trips. I guess by now you probably have some statistics on what people have done. I guess you have multiple families and who come year after year, or who take buddy trips, you know, 2, 3, 4 times. The return visit is probably one of the staples of your operation, no?
Yeah, we've got a lot of guests that are great, and they will come annually. There's, you know, some of the Pacific Northwest draw where people have the opportunity to, you know, come down a couple times a year. And some of the fun stuff we're starting to see now is, you know, those that first started coming way back in 1999 now have children that they're starting to bring with them and experience and kind of share that Bandon Dunes experience along with them as well. So we're kind of starting to see that next gen of golfer. You know, you mentioned one trip. It's great knowing that there's so many golfers out there that we can still find people that haven't been here. And, you know, earlier today I talked to two guests that are coming next week that have never been here, and you know, they had the opportunity to check out the website, but they still want to ask a couple more questions because they don't want to miss out on, you know, they want to be veterans while they're rookies and figure out how the best way to do it. So it's great.
We're talking to Jeff Simons, the director of resort operations at Bandon Dunes. I talked in the introduction about looking out for the future, and we did have Earth Day a little while ago, and I know that you guys are very forward-thinking as far as the environment and preservation, ecology, all of those things. That's sort of mixed into the DNA of what Kaiser Golf is. Talk a little bit about some of the programs that you have out there to advance those types of initiatives.
I'd be happy to, and thanks so much for, you know, certainly making a show and segment about that. You know, I'll lead with, in 1971, Mike Kaiser and his college roommate, Phil Friedman, who's also involved with the Sheep Ranch, you know, they started the recycled paper greeting cards on Earth Day in 1971, and, you know, grew that into a you know, large, I think it was the number 3 greeting card company.
Wow.
And, you know, that conservation has always kind of been in Mike Kaiser's DNA. And as Bandon Dunes has evolved over our 21 years, it's really been a part of kind of who we are. And it's never really been something that we have actively tried to promote and push, but it's more of just kind of running in the background in our daily operations. And, you know, it's from golf course maintenance to recycle programs to our hotel operations, and then also some other areas, whether it's you know, bringing back an endangered species in Silver Facilia. I don't know how familiar you are with Bandon Preserve, but that logo is Silver Facilia. And the plant was incredibly endangered. And we had in 2014, roughly 6,000 plants to now we have over 32,000 plants of Silver Facilia. So
awesome. It
was just being encroached by beach grass and getting lost on the dunes. So, you know, there's all sorts of different things that we do. solar panels. You know, our goal is to really have as little impact on the environment and you know, try to keep our footprint to as small as we can. From just even our water usage on the golf courses, you know, we only irrigate roughly 600 acres of our 2,500 acre property. So making sure that the rest of the resort is either, you know, naturally irrigated by our annual rainfall, or again, it's just something that isn't irrigated or isn't needed because it's Mother Nature at her finest.
And that's another thing that's in common with the Scottish and Irish courses. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a sprinkler head on a Lynx course. It's just not done. It's just mostly not necessary. And I think that's another thing that makes that experience sort of authentic. I always say that you have the template for that so down pat for that Irish and Scottish golf experience, and that's part of it. So tell me about the when we talk about the environmental initiatives that you have, it's kind of clear how they benefit the company. I think in terms of savings and in terms of enhancing, you know, your corporate ethos, that sort of thing. How does it benefit the golfer?
Well, we've got a couple ways. One is it just helps solidify our longevity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good for the golfer. It's good for the business. This Earth Day, we just launched a new program where we are starting to really reduce our single-use plastic consumption. And, you know, when we announced a kind of a partnership with the Freshwater Trust and some help and support from Yeti, we are basically offering a Yeti Rambler to really try and have our guests utilize a reusable bottle and you know, use it on their visit and hopefully keep it for many years and use it. And that just goes into kind of the overall impact that plastics are having on the environment and on the earth. And one of the other things that we see is you've got your toiletry items in the hotel rooms and things like that. So, you know, we put a focus on single-use plastics, and we're by no means perfect. It's kind of the first step in the series of ongoing initiatives that we want to try and lessen and reduce.
Sure.
Because we know it's a marathon, not a sprint. And we want to make sure that, you know, before we do something or make a move, that we've got a proper solution and it doesn't have a negative impact on the guest or the guest experience, and that it's something that can be sustainable. And this program we just launched was something we're really proud of and spent a lot of time, and it required some infrastructure build up to where we had to install, you know, water refill stations around the property and on the golf courses and in certain areas of the resort to make it, I'll say, easy to get your water. And so we put in a little bit work of there, and then we're able to launch. And again, we hope to make a big impact with that. And one of the kind of drives of the push was just, you know, the fact that we were looking at the amount of water bottles, just specifically water, that were consumed over 5 years. And, you know, it was almost 700,000 water bottles. And if you think of the space that takes and how long those plastics last, it's just kind of the right thing to do. And on the other side, we've got Wild Rivers Coast Alliance, which is our grant making department of the resort. Net proceeds from Banner Preserve fund them, and one of their big grantees is a call them a small outfit, but a great company washed ashore from in Bandon, and basically they take plastics and garbage that washes up from the ocean on our beaches, and they turn it into art that can be seen all over the world, big art sculptures. And, you know, we're just trying to find ways that we can continue to help support different programs, whether it's, you know, places like Wash Ashore or different watersheds or Freshwater Trust, and while also, you know, finding new ways to have our guests better experience Bandon Dunes.
And I think that's it's a real win. You know, when companies are conscious of what they're doing, conscious of themselves, conscious of the footprint that they leave, you know, on this world, in this business, in their place of business, and desire to have that reduced, to have that be as friendly and sustainable as possible. And these are a lot of buzzwords, but I think they mean a lot, even if it just means not walking around the course and seeing a bunch of plastic bottles either stacked in a trash can or floating around the place, or whatever. I think it's commendable that you take the time to assess yourselves and make change. I wish more individuals would do that. I'm not naming any names. Those people know who they are, but they need to just take a look at themselves and, make some changes. We can't talk about golf and destinations without talking about COVID-19 and how that affected everything and everybody over the course of the last year, 18 months. How did you sort of sustain, survive, and then take the next step into 2021 and beyond? Talk about what you did last year to survive and what you're doing this year for golfers to help them enjoy the game in a safe way.
Well, last year, 2020, was certainly an interesting year because we were hosting the 120th U.S. Amateur in August. And
right.
There was a period of unknown. And we also were opening up the Sheep Ranch in June. And it seems like it was kind of that March timeframe when it really hit the U.S. And with so much unknown, we actually closed the resort for about 6 weeks. And golf was always still something you could do in the state of Oregon. But, knowing that we have such a large national and international audience, we certainly felt like the prudent, responsible thing was to temporary close or shut down and make sure that we could do as much learning as possible and figure out what is the right thing and appropriate thing to do. And mm-hmm. we spent about 6 weeks really kind of studying up and creating different scenarios and game plans. And when we opened back up, we had a week of kind of a soft opening with just Oregonians and tried to welcome them back and create some great opportunities to get Oregonians back playing golf before opening up to the rest of the country. And we did a lot of the things that so many different businesses and places do. One of the things that I think was great about COVID is how innovative businesses got, whether you're restaurants or other places. And, we tried to do the same thing, whether it was reduce, the points of contact. Some of the things were hard, like just reducing how many people could be in our shuttles and making sure that everyone was from the same group or the same party.
Right.
Having dining and letting guests take that or eat that in their rooms and being able to deliver that. Some of the things, losing our breakfast buffets, which was so popular, and not being able to do that the same way. So, we had to get creative and make changes and as you know from your experience, so much of Bannon Dunes is you get lots of people in, the Puffin Lounge or Bunker Bar or you name the restaurant, and you're dissecting your daily golf and trying to determine, who played the best and which golf course was the best and, rank your par threes, and these conversations spill over to other groups. And that was one of the challenges is, all of a sudden that, kind of group setting, that camaraderie and those discussions got quieted a little bit because, you couldn't have everyone in there. We've got some tents that we put up to help with the outdoor dining. And really, we just tried to find as many ways as possible to make sure that people could still come and have a great experience. And the one thing I don't think was touched at all was the golf experience. Flag sticks were left in holes, and we had the little, things inside the cups to make sure the ball didn't go down. But one of the things that we're, happy that we spent so much time with was working with our caddies, who are all licensees and, not employees, but, certainly we bring them together with the guests that are requesting them. But, having that caddy on your bag and being able to keep that part of the experience is so important to the Bannon Dunes experience, and just making sure that if you wanted a caddy, that extra time was spent talking about the relationship between caddy and player and what are you comfortable with. Do you want the caddy to carry the bag and then put it down and provide information and you pull your own clubs? Do you want the caddy to wear gloves? And, you know, lots of different options. And we did the same thing with our caddies. We wanted to make sure they had the ability to work, but, you know, if they weren't comfortable handing clubs, then we would relay that information to the guests. And it really worked out about as well as expected. And it was great because, you know, we certainly know there are other places that didn't have the ability to keep their caddies going throughout the golf season last year. And that's really hard. And, you know, restaurants and, you know, all the other things that were affected. So we were thrilled that we were able to still open up Sheep Ranch on June 1. And while it wasn't the same type of opening experience that we were have, you know, 3, 4, 5 months earlier, the biggest part was we were able to open it and make sure that those that were coming to play could still come and play it. The U.S. Amateur was kind of the same way. We had to create a bubble and basically separate Bandon Dunes and Bandon Trails from the rest of the resort so we could safely and responsibly hold the championship. We didn't allow spectators, and we had to unfortunately cancel our volunteers and all those people that have supported us for the 6 previous championships. But at the end of the day, we were thrilled that we were able to give the players in the U.S. Amateur the same U.S. Amateur experience. And I'm not sure you saw it on TV, but it was just an incredible week. Great golf. The weather was everything from, you know, perfectly calm days to windy days to fog. It was just, it was about as perfect as you could get. And then after that, it was just a lot of great guests that were so excited to get out and, you know, feel safe in rural Oregon where they weren't, you know, around a million other people. So we were, we had a good year. We were happy to be able to do everything we could.
Yeah, I did in fact watch the U.S. Amateur. I did watch that. It was Tyler Strafacci was our winner, and it was a great tournament. As you say, you had that representative weather of the Oregon coast and Bandon Dunes, where it's could be foggy, could be sunny, could be windy, could be not, could be all of those things, and everybody got a little taste of it, and it was just representative, and it was great to be able to look at the course and say, yeah, I know what's happening there. I know what they're facing there, you know, in good weather or bad. So it was really quite the experience. Before I let you go, I know that you have, there are 6 courses, or is it 6 point something, right? How many 18 holes and the short course do you have operational now?
We have 5 18-hole golf courses. So we've got Bandon Dunes, which opened in 1999. Pacific Dunes followed it in 2001. Bandon Trails opened in 2005. Old MacDonald in 2010. We had Bandon Preserve open in 2012, and that's our 13-hole par 3 golf course, which is probably about as much fun as you can have in golf.
Indeed.
And then, like I said, last June we had the Sheep Ranch open, so... just a lot of great golf variety. It's if you've got 8 guys coming down, you certainly won't have a unanimous on which is the best golf course. Someone's going to argue you about the other golf courses, and we'd love to hear that it's not unanimous.
Exactly. I mean, everybody has a different one. And you probably can't choose a favorite child, but I will ask you anyway, do you have a favorite of yours to play?
I love playing Bandon Dunes, and it's, you know, there's no real reason other than without it, nothing else happens.
Yeah.
Most likely. And I always feel like the best golfer wins at Bandon Dunes.
Interesting.
I'm certainly not going to pass around at any of the other golf courses. The most recent course I played was Old MacDonald, and, you know, just absolutely had a ball because you can, you know, play in any kind of conditions there, and it's still very playable. And there's just something about Bandon Trails, which the more and more people play it, or come here and visit, the more they like Bannon Trails because you're no longer enamored with the Pacific Ocean. And the shot value of Bannon Trails is just incredible. And it's easy. I mean, I could go on and on about Sheep Ranch and how great it's been, and Pacific Dunes in the same way. Those are kind of the two where most people love to talk about because the views are just incredible. But, you know, probably for the last year or two, Bannon Dunes has been my favorite.
I got to say, I love what you said about how the best golfer wins and how pure it is. And I would say, you know, you say that Bannon is the one for the same reason that I say The Sopranos is the best show of all time, because they invented that stuff. You know, all of that stuff about how a long form drama is done. You know, everybody can point back to the original DNA of The Sopranos. You know, there are other things, there are different things, there are wonderful things, but it's The Sopranos. And for that reason, I love Bannon as a choice. Well chosen, my friend. So for people who want to get either their first or their next experience at Bannon Dunes, what's the best place to start?
The best place is just to go to BannonDunesGolf.com and, you know, check out our website. We are a walking only facility. You come to Oregon and you play golf, and that's what we are, is we're a golf resort. We've got great food that's going to keep you fueled throughout your trip. Our accommodations are fantastic, but really it's the golf that people are here for, and they play from sunrise to sunset. So, you know, check us out on the website. Our reservations team is, you'll find the number to be able to call our reservations team. We've got, you know, you can send us an email and ask about date availability. We're here to help and help you book your next trip or your first trip.
Beautiful. Well, again, man, thank you so much for taking the time. I'm sure you have 1,000 things to do, sort of stacking up like airplanes used to over Kennedy Airport, but and will again at some point. But I thank you really for taking the time to talk about this special place. I mean, it really is something that is, you know, it is an icon in golf at this point. Thank you for all that you've done to make it that way and to keep it that way. And as I keep saying, God willing and the creek don't rise, I'll get out there again to make a couple of memories out there with you.
Well, Michael, thanks for having me. And we can't wait to welcome you back to Bannon Dunes. And, you know, you'll play and decide whether or not Bannon Dunes is still your favorite, or maybe one of the other golf courses jumps up into that role.
I'm anxious to audition them all, believe me. They all get a fair chance. Again, Jeff, thanks so much for joining me, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You got it. That is Jeff Simons. He is the director of resort operations at Bannon Dunes. That is an esteemed position. I think you can just shorten that title to the man at Bannon Dunes. Look, the place is extraordinary. You know, you would think that people hype it up, and you hear people talk about the place and the feeling of it and the golf and the food and the people. There is no hype involved in this thing. It is as special a place as you're going to go, even without the golf. It would be kind of a special place, which sounds weird to say because it's so steeped in golf. But there's something special about it. And with the golf, the fact that you get this extraordinary golf experience on the course combined with this unique experience off of it, it just makes it something that you just have to do. I mean, there's Scotland, there's Ireland, there's Bannon. And believe me, there's people in Ireland who want to go to Bannon. I mean, that should tell you all that you need to know. By the by, in terms of my favorite course, so far I don't have a favorite course out there, but I can tell you that the round that I played at Old MacDonald there, I got a chance to play that course. I was by myself. I played it as a single, and y'all know I'm a big mush ball, but it was an emotional time in my life at that time. I got to play it by myself, and that whole place, it is almost like a life experience. The way it's laid out, it's almost like the arc of a lifetime. And by the time I got to the end of the round, for a lot of reasons, there were tears in my eyes, literally. It was that beautiful of an experience. And it's one of the most memorable, if not the most memorable round of golf that I've ever played, for a lot of reasons. So as I say, go make your memories, go to that website, start making your memories at Bannon Dunes, and, you know, hit me up and let me know how you feel about it. Love to hear your stories too. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with more golf and stuff Michael Williams, 19th hole, golf, WRX.
Hi, this is Reese Jones on Michael Williams and the 19th hole. I look forward to talking to Michael every time.
Welcome back to the 19th hole. Michael Williams, your host, and most of you all know, some of you don't, but I lived in Southeast Asia for about 5 years, based in Hong Kong, but managed to get to most of the countries in that part of the world. One of my very, very favorites was Singapore. It was so clean and so beautiful, so organized, and so forward-thinking. It was like taking a trip into this, the Central Park of the future. It had like banking, it had these beautiful green gardens, it had the ocean, and it also had it was just an incredible place. Every single facet of the country seemed to be forward thinking. They've always been like that and are like that still. That's just one reason why one of the most important tournaments for women is being played there this week. That's the HSBC Women's World Championship. It's being held at Sentosa Golf Club in Singapore. And joining me now is a guy who I've had on before. He wears a bunch of titles, and it works better if I let him say them all. But his name is Andrew Johnston, but we like to call him Andy. And he's just a pretty big deal over at Sentosa. Andy, welcome back to the 19th hole. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. And thanks for having me back on. It's always a pleasure talking with you and being on the show.
Well, I sure appreciate you taking the time, especially during tournament week. I know it's going to be very, very busy for you here, so every minute counts. And I just didn't want to butcher any of your titles. I know you got a bunch of them over there, so it's general manager, and what all else are you in charge of there?
So I wear a lot of hats. I'm the general manager, director of agronomy, and I'm also the resident architect.
Okay, so that just about covers it. Okay, so you've got enough to do here. So we're going to try to talk to all three of those alter egos of yours, get some questions for each one of those titles as we go through this little chat of ours. But it's been a couple of years since we talked. And of course, we've all had that COVID-19 thing going on. How's that been for you? How's that been for the club? How's it affected your operations, your plans, your future? What happened?
You know, it kind of snuck up on us like it did a lot of people.
Sure.
But when it happened, we had to close our facility, and that happened about a year ago. We went through what the government called a circuit breaker, where, you know, everybody had to be confined to basically their households for about 2.5 months. And during that time, only essential workers could go out. We were and had just broke ground on the renovation of the Serapong when this happened. And so 155 laborers were quarantined that were, you know, from the contractor were quarantined and left us with nobody to perform the work. So we had a few of us that were approved to come out, and we self-performed that work. It was quite amazing that we actually got that. And we can come back to talk about that later. But it was a challenging time. And when government allowed everybody to come back out in June, what's amazing is we have been at 100% capacity since that day happened, all the way up to today. Every day is sold out, and it's really a great thing to see.
Yeah, that's been the case with a lot of golf courses, especially here in the United States. Golf had a tremendous boom in rounds played between 13, 15, and 30% or so in some places, rounds gained during this past year. And I think the challenge is going to be how to sustain that without having a deadly disease driving people outside. But, you know, it's the silver lining you know, for golf. Anyways, and I know that you guys have had a lot of plans for, well, let's say a lot of plans for competitions. I believe the championship that you're holding this week, wasn't that planned to be held at an earlier date?
It was. It's usually held in the last week of February, first week of March, every year. We've been the host venue for the HSBC World Women's Championship for 8 years in a row. Last year, we were 2 weeks away. All the infrastructure was built. Everything was ready to go. We were 2 weeks away from having the tournament here, and it was canceled. And the LPGA was the week before us, was in Australia, and they ended up going back to the U.S. without making the Asian swing that they usually make. And so it was quite disappointing. We were the first event for the LPGA to be canceled. And quite interesting, today, in about 10 minutes, first ball will be off, and this will be the first televised event, sporting event in Asia since that event was canceled. So it's kind of a historic moment.
Wow, that is impressive. We're talking to Andy Johnson out at Sentosa Golf Club in Singapore. Michael Williams, your host here on the 19th hole. Let's talk a little bit about the renovations, reopening, and that sort of thing, because you are already one of the top 100 courses in the world, and you, as in-house architect, had the notion to make the course even better. Talk to me a little bit about what you plan to do and how it's all evolved and turned out.
Well, we were at the point where, even though we were one of the world's best venues, we were getting some invasive grasses. The golf course was starting to show its age. It was time, you know. So we had this scheduled to come in and do a, I'm going to call it a light renovation. Reflatten out all the tees, stretch it out in places that we could, but there weren't many places. And take all the surfaces off, refloat them back down, fix the, you know, the drainage areas that were historically failing, mm-hmm. and then regrass it, grow it back in so it's fresh, new, fantastic looking. And when that happened, we broke ground just before the circuit breaker happened. And so we ended up self-performing that work. We took our own crew and myself and we went in and, you know, I ran the dozer and the equipment and helped the guys through it. But some of the things we did that really enhanced our product was we gave our bunkering a new shape. Hmm. Bunkers are still in the same place, but they now have that kind of serrated edge that really, really pops them out. And it made them larger because the sand lines are higher.
Right.
So how much larger are they? It's $1 million more sand. That's how much bigger they are.
Wow. Wow. Okay. That's one of those things that reminds me of that old saying, like, we had an unlimited budget and we exceeded it. That's $1 million in sand is pretty impressive.
Well, you know, here's the interesting thing. We self-performed all of that work on a budget under $5 million. So what we ended up doing was giving this thing a facelift that it looks like we just spent $25 million. And I guess these are some of the things when you know, not to put on that hat, but when the architect is on the payroll.
Yeah, that does cut down, especially these days. I can cut that budget by seven figures or more when you have skilled talent like that on the staff and on the roster already. So this week with the HSBC, this is going to be the first competitive event that you've hosted since the renovation. Is that right?
It is. It is. And it is probably the most challenging event I've ever had to prepare for. With the rounds of golf at 100% capacity, and we only closed for one day. That was Sunday.
Before the event?
One day. Exactly. And I've shared a few of the pictures with you over our, you know, our social channels, so you can see what a tremendous job the team has done preparing this for this week. And yeah, we only closed one day. I mean, there were days I would go out there and just start crying because of the amount of divots and ball marks you'd see. And we've really pulled a rabbit out of a hat to get this thing in this kind of shape.
That is kind of unheard of, really. That's crazy for a major championship, really, and just to close one day before. I've heard it be said by folks at the USGA that, yeah, if we had on a week's notice, we could host an open at places like Oakmont or Pebble Beach and that sort of thing. But one day, that's a whole nother story. So that's really impressive. And we look forward to seeing the best in the world go out and play this week. We have Danielle Kang in the field. We have Lydia Ko in the field. We have some of the best women's players in the world out there. So that must be very exciting too. My question is, will you have fans? Will you have spectators?
So it's a made for TV event this year. So there are no spectators to be able to come to the property and appreciate it. And it's a little disappointing, but I'm so happy to have the event back, and it's a restart. So we can only grow back to getting spectators at some point. What we will have, though, which is quite nice to see, is a quite a robust hospitality area. So around the 18th hole, we have hospitality built for 250 people, and they've built it in a way where it's suites for 8 people each. So each suite has 8 people, so you get to go into these suites with your 8 friends and enjoy the game and get some great F&B and drinks and watch the golf.
Well, that's going to be awesome. We look forward to scoping that out on TV this week and this weekend. We were talking earlier about Earth Day, which was last week, and of course there's this heightened awareness of the environment and conservation, all of these things around that day. We feel it somehow every day now. There seems to be a weather event or some sort of reminder of the fact that we need to take care of this planet as it takes care of us. But you've been forward-looking in that way for a long time. What kind of programs, let's start from just where you're coming from with that. Where does the inspiration for that type of commitment to the environment at your golf courses practices come from? Is that from the owners? Is it from you? A combination? Where does that come from, and how does it manifest itself in terms of the programs that you implement?
Well, we've been at it for about 8 years, and it's something that we quietly, you know, at the club started, and it just gained momentum as things started to evolve. And what I can share that I'm really proud of, I mean, we have achieved some really great achievements in the environmental front by removing single-use plastics, all plastic water bottles, converting some of our fertility programs by using a product called biochar in our fertility that's reduced our NPK by 50% and other products up to 95%. It's just really special, some of the things we've done. But what I'm really proud of is I believe we've inspired the island of Sentosa, who's now made the commitment to go carbon neutral by 2030.
Wow.
And so there are some really cool things that have happened since we've taken this on. And I'm just really excited to see it. But honestly, back to your original question, what inspired us or me is, you know, I saw years ago that carbon in the atmosphere was the problem. And when you see how much it's rising and how fast it's rising, if we all don't do something about it, there won't be something for our children or our children's children to be around. And I hate to sound so dramatic, but it, you just have to look at what science is telling you. And we as leaders, and I see ourselves as a world leader, if we don't take this position, then nobody will. And so it's a responsibility that we have to take, and we have to show everybody it's not that difficult to do, and we can make a difference.
Yeah, responsibility and accountability. Easy words to say, very difficult to find that type of leadership in practice these days. So I applaud you for doing that. And I think what needs to be mentioned that you have been working with, I guess, some of the most important names and organizations in the world in terms of implementing things at your golf club. I mean, even the United Nations has initiatives that you have participated in to advance environmental awareness and to really support environmental practices. There is a golf conservation program within the UN. Isn't there? Or am I understanding that wrong?
No, you're correct. And so we were the first golf club in the world to join the UN's. Basically, it's the Paris Agreement, And there's a section in the Paris Agreement that, that is specifically for sports. So the UN, the UN's climate change for actions of sports, or sports actions, if I got that backwards. And there's some big organizations that are involved in this, the New York Yankees, the All England Club, where Wimbledon is held. And we're the first golf club in the world to be one of these, you know, part of this elite group. And they have, you know, the UN is working towards some really challenging things, such as their program called Race to Zero. And we have aspirations to join that. One of the things that we're launching this week, actually today it will come out, so this is a perfect time for you and I to talk about it, but we're making the commitment to have a carbon zero facility from today on. And we had our carbon footprint measured about 6 months ago. It helped us study how we can improve it, and we're going to continue to improve it this year with some other things we will implement. But what we've been able to determine is, if we take $1 from every golf cart, from every golf cart that, that comes and every golfer that plays here, you can play a carbon-free round of golf. So for $1. And we'll Wow. take that at the end of the year and apply that to an offset that will make us carbon neutral. And then we'll work every year to keep reducing that, our carbon footprint, till we actually get to zero.
Wow. And see, these are the types of forward-looking things that other people need to adopt and look and say, you know, it's so easy to say, yeah, well, we can't do that, or it'd be too much trouble. And then you see somebody who's just willing to take the initial trouble to do it, and it sort of takes care of itself. So again, kudos to you for taking the initiative. I want to let you go because I know you got stuff to do to get ready for this event. Talk a little bit about the golf course itself. I mean, because it's a beautiful golf course. As I said, it's in the top 100. Just brag on the golf course and lay out a little bit, and maybe name a signature hole or two that, I know it's hard to pick a favorite child, but maybe you can pick out one or two.
Well, I you know, here's the greatest thing about it. I love getting here early in the morning, but usually as soon as the sun's up and you can see the silhouette of it, it makes my day.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just such a great layout, and it is a monster. I mean, it's one of these golf courses that it's very hard to score well, but it just wants you to come back and try it again and try it again. You know, you play some courses that are difficult and you just feel so beat up, you never want to do it again. This doesn't have that in it. This is so unique that every time you want to come back and try and conquer it, but somehow it just gets the best of you.
Hmm.
You know, the things that really make it special is it hangs out on the edge of the South China Sea. You have these fantastic views of the CBD, you know, the Singapore's skyline and the business district. And
yeah,
you just don't see that anywhere else in the world. And that stretch of holes we call the Dragon's Tail. And they are some tough holes that go around this lagoon area. And during the renovation, I took the liberty to redesign one of the holes, the sixth hole. So it's the only thing that we did different, but we moved the fairway over to the edge of the water so that it's a bit more daunting off the tee. And we put this big false front off the front of the green that we call the Dragon's Tongue. And it's pretty cool.
Well, as they say, well, they used to say it in the 60s. I'm going to say it didn't mean the same thing. I want to come and chase the dragon. It meant something totally different then during Vietnam, all right? I'm not doing that. But I just want to come play the golf course. That's all I'm trying to say. It's a great place, and if people are in the area, in the neighborhood, where can they go to get some information about what you're doing and maybe get themselves on the course?
Absolutely. You can look at the Sentosa, just Google Sentosa, and then you'll start seeing all the vast many things there are here to do.
Beautiful. That's Sentosa, correct? Sentosa?
That's it.
Beautiful. Look, Eddie, I know you got to go, so I'll let you jump. Best of luck this week with the event. Hope you have a great tournament and get a great champion. And it won't be 2 years before we talk to each other again. And hopefully the next time I'll be in person, because I'm still trying to work on the folks in Singapore. If you have somebody in that the business district who wants to have someone come out and spend some time there, have them give me a call, because we're ready to come.
Well, I'll do that. And I can't wait for you to be here in person.
Appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much. We will talk to you soon.
Take care.
Cheers. That is Andy Johnson at Sentosa Golf Club. I'm going to post some pictures on my social media so you can see it. It is one of those places that just looks magnificent. I mean, you just want to tee it up there when you see the pictures. You'll see them. It's a long way for sure. I mean, you're not going to go there accidentally, but if you're ever in that direction, you really want to take a look and see what that club has to offer. It really is something special. Special people, special guy running it, and special golf to be had there. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more golf and stuff. Michael Williams, 19th hole, golf, WRN. That's it, and that's all, boys and girls, for this edition of the 19th Hole. I want to thank our very special guest, Brooke Henderson. Isn't she a sweetheart? She is awesome. Can't wait to have her back on the show to talk about the many successes that are to come in her young but already great career. We are thankful to Jeff Simons at Bandon Dunes. Man, you just want to go play golf when you talk about Bandon. I'm sorry. He's right. You just want to go play golf anywhere, but especially at Bandon, and of course to Andy Johnson over at Sentosa for the great work that they're doing over there. Thank you for listening. You can listen here on golfwrx.com if that's where you're listening. You can also get us on SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Music, and a host of other locations where great podcasting is located. You can hit me up on social media as well. Where? Well, on Instagram, it's Michael Williams TV. And on Twitter, it's Michael on TV. Hit me up. Let me know what you think, okay? I'm always interested. Again, I say thank you very much for listening. We do it all for you. Come back next week for another show. And until then, go out, hit some balls. Preferably hit them straight. Unless you're Bubba Watson, which is, you know, hit them anywhere. But don't count the days. Make the days count. Michael Williams, 19th hole, golf, WRX.